Oh, God. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
The multiverse is real.
Say that again.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Multiverse Monologues, the podcast show where we like to travel across the multiverses and fandoms that we love to talk about the movies and television shows that accompany those universes. I am your co-host, Ben Rayside, who is very happy to be back in front of the mics and to be back for the Marvel Movie Marathon.
Yeah, buddy.
Today we're talking about New Mutants. And yes, it's good to be back. Not only is it good, I'm happy to be back. I know another guy who's very, very happy to be back. And that is Mr. Ethan Wensloff. Ethan, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's always fun to sit here and talk with you guys. But to me, what this podcast was built on was the Marvel Movie Marathon. So I am thrilled to be back with it today. And we're back with a banger, guys. The New Mutants. And as Anya Taylor-Joy's character says in this movie, it's indisputable that you are possibly the worst group of mutants I've ever seen. That's wow. Anya Taylor-Joy's quote, magic. Take her word for it.
She says this during the film?
She says this during the film as they're all together.
Must have forgotten it.
Yeah.
I must have forgotten, but there is no one I will never forget more than Mr. Micah Head. Did I say that correctly?
I forget Micah all the time. I try to forget Micah.
I'll never forget Mr. Micah Head. Micah, how are you doing?
Forgive me, Ben, for I have sinned, not for the movies that I have reviewed, but for the movie I'm about to review. Ben, I'm excited to finally get back to the Marvel Movie Marathon. It's been a while. We had a Star Wars break.
Yes.
If you guys missed those episodes, check those out. Dude, we're back into peak Marvel.
Oh, yes. We had to get some life situations figured out now, but I think we've made the commitment now to post bi-weekly as we are getting back into the Marvel Movie Marathon, and there's no better time to do it, folks, because just a couple weeks ago, Marvel unveiled a set of 20-plus chairs for the next Avengers film, Avengers Doomsday. And if you have followed at all anything for Avengers Doomsday, you'd know that there will be a lot of returning Marvel characters, a lot of the characters that appeared in the Marvel Movie Marathon. So we thought there's no better time to get back in the saddle to prepare for Avengers Doomsday
and
than to
know
finish.
For a fact that some New Mutants will be in Avengers Doomsday.
The cash cow.
There's no way that they
yes,
won't
indeed.
Be.
Keep milking this franchise, man.
100%. And we're very excited. So without further ado, gentlemen, let's get right into it. Let's head into the Fox era X-Men Marvel Universe.
Are you crazy? That thing will kill you.
He's right. It's magic.
So am I.
Five young mutants confront their burgeoning powers and terrifying visions in a mysterious hospital. Discovering they are experimental subjects, they must unite to break free. Mm. Their escape forces them to face both internal demons and external threats. That is your plot synopsis for the last film in the Fox X-Men universe in New Mutants, a film that had probably one of the most troubled productions that I've ever seen a Marvel movie or any movie have in my entire life. That's this one. It had five different release dates starting in April of 2018. And then finally, I believe it came out in August of 2020. This was delayed because of many reasons, but the biggest one was COVID-19, obviously. It hit, and then obviously Disney purchased Fox, so that also
only
delayed.
2020 movie.
That's true, Micah.
The only 2020 project ever
for this Marvel movie marathon. Well, not a lot was released in 2020, except for this. And to me, this was kind of like all right, let's get this out. Not a lot of people are going to theaters.
Let's get rid of this good movie.
I think it was more of a Tom Cruise. We'll see at the movies. You know, we want to drop this bombshell of in a great way, you know?
Right, let's
really invite everyone back into the cinema.
Bring people back.
It's August. Everyone's releasing movies again. Let's get them back for a banger.
When did Tenet come out? Was Tenet around this exact time?
I believe it was. Yes, October of 2020, if I remember right.
September 3rd, okay. So it was the next month?
The next week.
The next week, yeah.
Yeah, next weekend.
Imagine competing with a Christopher Nolan movie
when there's only like two movies in theaters. And they still...
And that's both of them.
Well, we're going to talk about it because this movie has been critically and financially slammed. Not a lot of great things have been said about it, but we're 5 years almost removed from this project now. But my question to you gentlemen is, I mean, what's our history with New Mutants? And I'll throw this to Ethan first. Ethan, do you even have a history with New Mutants?
No, my history was I remember seeing the trailers, and I wasn't even super into the good X-Men films. So this didn't draw me. You know, it was COVID. I don't even think I really knew what this was. So yeah, first time watching it is for this podcast.
Okay. Mr. Het, are you in that camp?
I didn't even know half the actors were in this. Like, I didn't know Anya Taylor-Joy was in this. I didn't know the dude from Stranger Things is in this, whatever his name is. I knew nothing about this movie going in. So in that way, it was kind of cool to go in completely blind to a movie, like a movie from a major film studio that I knew nothing about. Plot-wise.
And it's really crazy because this film is star-studded. I mean, especially now because a lot of these characters...
Star-adjacent. I don't know.
I mean, what was Anya Taylor-Joy in before this?
I don't know, man. Like, Anya Taylor-Joy is huge. The kid from Stranger Things is huge. Two huge gets.
Queen's Gambit came out that year.
When was Queen's Gambit?
2020.
So was it just a little before this?
Yeah. Oh, she was in The Witch before that, too.
Yeah.
That was 2015.
But by no means was she as big a name as she is,
no,
is now.
No, definitely not. And I think it was really, you know, things like Last Night in Soho, The Northman. I guess she was in Peaky Blinders and The Menu. Those things really boosted her popularity.
And the playing Peach helped in the Mario movie.
Well, yeah, definitely. But things were being filmed during that. Oh, was she the main girl in Split, too?
Yes, El okay. Night Shyamalan Split yep. was before this, so she was gaining notoriety. I'm not sure if you said The Witch.
Yep,
yeah,
The Witch.
That was
and
pretty
then she
big
went on to
her.
Go in Glass.
Yeah, so it had a lot of it had recognizable kid stars. You could definitely tell there's an audience for this movie. Now, whether or not it landed, that's up for debate, pretty much. And if you look at the box office, it's not really up for debate, honestly. But I want to know what you guys thought. Being as this is your first time, because I had seen this. I actually did go to the theaters in 2020 to see this movie with Sam. We had our thoughts then. I'm going to save my thoughts. I'm going to get your. I want to get your thoughts first. But not a great movie theater experience because you were wearing masks and it was. I mean, I think actually we were the only people in the theaters. It was not a great time to be at the movies because there was all those restrictions.
And
not like
it
is now.
And you were seeing The New Mutants. So double not a great time.
What could be better? So, big old bucket of popcorn you can't eat? And, oh, man.
The New Mutants is a title. You know, it's taken from the comics. So I don't blame them for picking this name. But I do think that the name doesn't quite suit this movie too well. So, New Mutants, that's kind of lame, you know? So I threw a few sample names together that I want to see if... you see these work better, okay? X-Men, new cast. New cast, pretty solid.
Okay.
X-Men, new accents.
Ooh,
it's pretty solid.
Holy
yeah.
cow, there were some rough ones in this.
Some, I think all of them.
Trauma therapy, pretty solid.
Okay.
Pretty much
The Nightmare on L Street. Okay, and the L stands for both lame or lesbian. Whichever way you want to take it.
Good point.
Yeah.
The pains of puberty, or mutants made boring.
This is a very hormonal film.
Mutants
that's
born
for
again.
Sure.
Mutants. Oh, there we go.
All of those I think work better.
Demons can't come in churches, guys. Demons can't come
demons
in churches.
Can't come in churches. What that... about Revenge of the Demon Bear?
Oh. All right, that's it.
There
all
we go.
Right, yeah.
Roll that.
That might be spoiling quite a bit.
Yeah, man. Sorry. Spoiler alert,
come
guys.
Come on.
Do you have anything else to initial thoughts?
So yeah, Ethan,
I mean,
what'd you think of this?
Great names, but
yeah, a bunch of that's true. I forgot the question I was asked. So yeah, initial thoughts. I think that there are some cool ideas that are present here. I like the idea of a group of mutants being trapped in a mental hospital, and there's spooky shenanigans going on. There's some scary stuff afoot, and I'm a big fan of coming of age films. And this is a young cast, so there's that potential there. So that intrigues me a little bit. But ultimately, I think that the dialogue is pretty rough. The story isn't quite fleshed out. And there are cool ideas. I didn't have too much of a good time with this. And I found most of it pretty boring.
Mm-hmm. So, they lost you when they didn't have a guy on girl kissing, wasn't it? You know, that's what it was. This guy.
Like I said, it was a really, I don't know. There's a lot of good ideas. I agree with you there. There's a lot of good ideas in this, but it doesn't flesh any.
Experimental ideas. I don't know.
Well, you can see what they were going for. And we'll get to that.
I think Nightmare on Elm Street is a good comparison to what's going on, is because part of this movie is, and we don't know why throughout the film, but people's dreams and worst nightmares are being brought to life. I think that is a cool idea. I mean, we've seen that in It. Right, it did that in a decently well way. So the concept could work if done right.
Sure.
No, that's a good point. It came out a year before this, I think, went in front of cameras. So they decided to take a little bit of that. It feels like they took a lot of elements from other things.
Stranger Things was big too, and we were coming off we're on the very down ramp of the like Divergent and Maze Runner and movies like that based on teen thing. So this was in production during the reschedulings that Ben was talking about. So if it came out when it was supposed to, maybe it would have done a little better. I don't know.
But I think no doubt financially it would have done better.
Yeah, for sure. Because people were seeing anything.
I don't know about critically.
Whatever. But for me...
Yeah, what'd you think, Micah?
So this felt like a lot to me. A bunch of high schoolers got together in a boardroom with some executives. And they're like, can you guys, the executives to the high schoolers, they're like, can you guys just give us some, you know, ideas? And it's a bunch of theater kids, right? So they're like, all right, we need a flame guy because that's mutants, right? And we need like someone who can fly kind of fast, but like can't control it. And then we need someone with like a backstory who can't control her emotions because of the past. And that can manifest itself as this big creature that at the end she controls. And like, that's how they win, by the power of like self-control. And then we can have like gay people and like kind of ghosts, but they're not really ghosts. And it really just freaks everybody out. And they're stuck in this room. And then they go to this attic. And then the attic has like a lie detector test. And they, you know, like just super basic one level ideas. It's never like they have powers, but you know
what?
He doesn't want to use it because he has some like trauma for more reasons than just killing someone. You know, it's just like, oh, I can't use it because I killed someone. Oh, I can't use it because my whole family died because of it. Like three people, right, have the same issue with their powers. They just can't control it because they killed somebody.
So I thought trauma therapy was...
Get your own problem, dude. Like,
yeah,
you're not original. We did that in X-Men 2000.
Facts. Yeah, with Rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Micah, it sounds like you don't really like New Mutants.
No, hold on. Hold on a second. I didn't like it. Yeah, you're right. I didn't like it.
It
felt like a very first draft extended cut of a pilot show that never had any other episodes made by high schoolers.
Yeah, I agree. I will defend the mutants and their power set is that's ripped right from the comic. So kids didn't originate that.
It's just kind of generic.
Yeah.
Like even with
how it plays
when
out
you see something like West Coast Avengers too, like in the comics, right? Isn't that a pretty unique compared to the main Avengers set? Like it's not just...
I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about that.
I don't either. I'm just pretty sure Moon Knight's in there, right?
Yes.
That's what I hear. So, I mean, like, just having one character that's
cool.
Highly unique.
Yeah.
And not just like, oh, that's Johnny Storm, but not cool. And that's a Sentinel, but a mutant. And that's someone... What did the Catholic girl even do? I forget.
we'll get to it.
I remember.
It.
She was Wolf Powers?
Oh, yeah. Wolf Powers. Yeah. All right. Werewolf. Cool.
She was a werewolf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I saw Twilight, so add some werewolf in there, but it's a girl.
It's a lot of like, okay, what are teens like? Boom.
Yeah.
But it's very generic, and it's funny you say that it felt like a first script, because genuinely, it kind of did. They went to principal photography, and because of the reorganization of the structure all the studios, they wanted to get all of these actors back for reshoots because Josh Boone, the director of this, said, okay, we've got something here, but we need a little more from the actors. And I think that's what you guys are talking about. We needed a little more from this story. It felt very generic. He wanted that too, but he was not able to accomplish reshoots.
Yeah, it sounded like Marvel didn't really care about this at all. And it makes sense. It makes sense because they had just purchased the X-Men. They want to do their own thing, which we're kind of still waiting on. But yeah, unfortunately, he got messed up in the shuffle. And maybe if given the opportunity, it could have been a better movie. I don't know.
Well, I think that's why they all have accents. It's to make it a little different from the rest of the herd. Once again, it's like, all right, everyone pick an accent for your character. It's very high school theater production level. Every single accent in this, no one can hold it for the whole thing. It's ridiculous how awful the accents are.
It's such a mistake.
It's
a massive mistake. Imagine how much more fluid and how much more chemistry these actors would have if they weren't trying to do an accent every second. That they can't do. Anya Taylor-Joy, even though, I don't know, she has perfected that a little bit. A movie came out recently on Apple TV called The Gorge, and she has kind of perfected that Russian-Ukrainian accent.
Oh, but it's so bad here.
But here it's terrible. And all of them have, even the kid from Stranger Things.
He's His southern accent is like Charlie Heaton. Yeah, Charlie Heaton. Yeah. It's too southern, you know? But like nobody actually talks like that. And even with Anya Taylor-Joy's accent, you can't understand. So it's one thing to have an accent and it sounds genuine and you can't understand it because of that, but her diction just isn't great. And that goes for Irish or Scottish girl too, like werewolf girl.
Yes.
Maisie Williams. Yeah, she was big because of Game of Thrones. Yeah. That was the other. I knew there was a third one.
I forgot she was in that.
I think this is an important time to pause and because we're struggling, guys. We are struggling with characters' names. We're struggling with remembering the power set that they have. So I think it would be fun because very rarely do we leave a Marvel movie because, you know, we might not be the most in tune when it comes to the comics, but the movies, we know those pretty well. I think we know those pretty well. So very rarely can we leave one of these movies and not remember a single character's name or what happened. So I think it would be fun. So we have six main characters in this movie. I want to pit you two against each other. Can you name the character's name and their superpowers?
Well, I'm glad I asked about a lot of these earlier in my...
Okay.
So, Ben, how many characters' names can you name?
Not the superhero name. I have to remember their actual birth name.
Oh, really?
Go superhero name. Not their birth name. Just
okay, so...
Whatever you can...
You can think the lady with the sword.
Yeah.
Anya Taylor-Joy's character, that's Magic. Only reason I know that is because of a mobile game, Marvel
Magic
game that I
play.
Magic with a K.
I only know that because Ethan's quote earlier in the show.
And what's her power?
Magic. That's all I
she
got for you,
she can turn her arm into a sword thing, and she could turn her dragon puppet into a... Yeah, each of these guys has like a prop that they have, too. It's
yes,
so
she is capable of teleportation. She's a sorceress.
Did not know that.
She can make stepping discs. She teleports in the movie, Micah. And she can wield the mystical soul sword. And she also has a dragon companion named Lockhead. And fun fact, Magic is Colossus's sister in the source material.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
And that's
okay.
A different girl than in Deadpool 2?
Yes.
Oh.
That's the one in Deadpool 2, isn't that? Negasonic Teenage Warhead?
Yep, that's the one.
So those are two different.
Okay. And they saw how well Negasonic Teenage Warhead performed in Deadpool 2, and they're like, we need to make a whole movie with just these characters.
Just her center stage. Okay, we got Anya Taylor-Joy as Magic.
I got one. One of them is named Rayne, R-A-Y-N-E.
Yes.
And I think that's the main chick, right? Like the Indian, Native American. They call her Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got powers of conjuring what people fear the most, but she can't control it.
Okay,
dude, that's 100 points.
You have
right there.
The power set right. You mismatched the name with the character.
No, I thought that they were like, your name's Rain? What kind of stupid name is that?
So our main character's name is Danny Moonstar.
Oh, that's what it was.
Also Rain's known as the, Mirage.
Rain's the one, the
Rain Sinclair slash Wolf's
Bane
is
it.
The Scottish mutant who can transform into a wolf or a wolf-human hybrid, grappling with her religious beliefs along the way.
Grappling, huh?
Yes.
The the two guys,
yep.
I could not tell you their superhero names or their actual names in the show.
One looked like the dude from May December, and I thought that was him, but it wasn't.
Okay. Charlie Heaton is Sam, and his character's name is Cannonball. He's a mutant who can propel himself through the air at jet speeds.
And doesn't have invincibility, which is a defining characteristic of his power set, because he breaks himself a lot.
All right, and then our other mutant hero is played by Henry Zaga, and he's Roberto da Costa, and he's Sunspot. And we've seen Sunspot in X-Men 97, and he's one of the mutants at the beginning of Days of Future Past. He does not reprise his role. No.
Well, what's
but he is the guy who can turn into fire. That's him.
So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know what year this Marvel movie takes place in universe? Mm-hmm. Because if this is the same universe, or
so
we've talked about the X-Men timelines before on this podcast, and it's best just
so
not to talk about
it. When Logan comes back from Days of Future Past, that is 2024. That's that year in that new, brand new timeline. And then 2029 is when Logan takes place. This supposedly takes place somewhere in that window.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
So the Sunspot we see in Days of Future Past, this one is from the newer.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So there's a.
Don't even try to make sense of this, Micah.
I see five, six, seven, no, six timelines for with Deadpool and Wolverine included. This is supposed to be in a timeline of its own. So Deadpool 2 splits into two timelines. There's Cable's future, and then there's the New Mutants Deadpool Wolverine future.
But see that, no.
What?
So actually, when Danny Moonstar is on like one of the operating tables, she has like these vision-esque things. And you can see X-23 from the cam footage in Logan. You see that,
I saw that.
In this movie. Yeah.
Because they ran out of footage.
So that confuses this timeline even more.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the footage from Logan.
It was. Yeah. But I don't know what it's... I don't... That's the thing. I don't think Marvel knew where this fit in the timeline or cared to do the work. That's why it's so confusing.
And it feels like it's so... It's trying to be its own thing so much, but it's... just falling to this timeline garbage that it's trying to hold up at the same time, because everyone's like, oh, because when did Endgame come out? Like the year before, not even 6 months before, right? And almost a year before. Anyway, people were like, oh yeah, we need to keep this MCU train going. We need to, all right, how is Fox Mutants gonna tie into, everyone's
also
looking to this.
Dark Phoenix came out too, and that bombed.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, well, how is it going to tie into Dark Phoenix? And all these expectations built up, but this movie had been in production for like 8 years and never stood a chance.
Yeah.
Most of the movies in this X-Men timeline hadn't even been thought of to be in a timeline. Yeah. So it's like, what are we doing?
Let me just put a bow on our last character, Dr. Cecilia Reyes, who is the doctor and kind of the villain of the movie. Is she the villain of the movie? Not really.
She's the MacGuffin.
A side antagonist.
Anyway, she is a doctor who can generate force fields. So there we go. I wanted to button up our six characters in the movie.
Discount Jean Grey. Okay.
Pretty much.
Got it. So my question to you boys then is, if this was great, would you want to see more of this? Because
Ben, you can't answer that question.
I think if this were prompted as a show, such as Inhumans, it would have at least gotten a season. At least a season.
Well, Inhumans got a season 2, and we know where that went.
Exactly.
But There was plans. The reason I asked the question is there was plans for a trilogy of this. Josh Boone wanted that. You know, he wasn't really fresh off of it, but 3 years before this went into production, he made the critically acclaimed
Fault in Our Stars.
Which,
and he did 500 Days of Summer.
Both of which I know, I hear are very, I've never seen them.
Fault in Our Stars is pretty good.
You guys can
which
speak
I
to
think
that.
He
okay.
steals a direct shot. In this movie, does he not? When they're lying in the cemetery?
Oh, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Exactly, that one. Mm-hmm. I wish that they brought over that cigarette thing from Fault in Our Stars. It's a metaphor. So, hold it in my mouth and the cancer can't get me.
I have to say this. These teens, has no idea. There's a part of the movie where they drug the main doctor, Dr. Reyes. And then there's a montage of them having the most lame night they could possibly. They're like, woo! They're having fun. Like, the girls
like
are
pushing them on the a girls rolling chair.
The girls are dancing. The two dudes are playing in a wheelchair. And then they're eating popcorn. And I'm like, okay, what a wild night you guys are having.
No. Not popcorn. Lucky Charms, which
was
makes
it?
Like four different appearances in this movie.
Okay.
You can tell because you got the little marshmallows. That
and then the two girls sneak out through a vent and go lay in a cemetery.
We've been dogging on this movie for quite some time, right? I have a challenge for you guys. Say something good. Not what they were trying to do. Not what, well, the idea was good. I'm talking about what this movie executed. I want you to say something good about this movie. Maybe you like the horror element. I'm not going that
I think
route,
the big CGI bear is pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like the bear. The smiley face man got a good scare out of Rebecca. That was funny.
That, I think, is my favorite part.
I think, yeah. I do want to say a but. They didn't go very far into it.
True. Yes.
I mean, you still got two more movies with this, right?
So that was
why waste everything in the first movie?
That was studio interference. Josh Boone wanted to make this more horror-esque. I genuinely am like fantasizing about what could have been the New Mutants if this was epic. Dude, it could have been. I don't know. I appreciate the vibe of this. You know, it could have been great.
They got the X-Files guy to make the score.
Oh, man.
And it sounds pretty decent. I mean, the feel is very horror. It's very X-Files-ish. Not that I've seen the show, but that's what I imagine it's like. Vibey, you know? And I could totally see if they leaned into the horror a little bit more. But it would even be cool if they started it the same way and then gradually became a surprise horror movie. Like, it starts off as this, it's just another teen mutant drama, but it just doesn't pick up the pace at all, and it just drags. And you feel like, all right, they're going to get out of this, and then they're going to go on a whirlwind adventure and be mutants and stuff and go around and use their powers. But they just sit in this thing, and then they go in therapy circle, and it's like, that's the whole movie. They have alcohol as anonymous, but for mutants, like three times, and then that's it. Roll credits.
Yeah,
that's it. There's so much this movie could have been with just another script refresh. Like, add a few more action scenes, break them out of there early, and make the bear chase them into the real world or something. Like the town they're talking about, 20 miles away. That's not that far in movie terms. Like, come on, guys.
I did think it was cool that Danny Moonstar, our main character, the bear that's like haunting them the whole episode or movie.
Exactly.
That kills her family or whatever in the opening scene. That she, based on stories her dad told her, she created that. Mm-hmm. That became her greatest fear. And then that began to haunt her and plague the rest of the movie. I think that's a cool concept.
Yeah, I think the intro scene was pretty intense. I liked that, how it was like you don't know what's going on. They didn't reveal the bear right away, so you don't know what it is. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it's even an 8 out of 10. But if I have to compliment something about the movie.
If I have to.
The intro was great. I didn't like how they showed the same shots from it throughout the movie. So, like, unedited.
Yeah.
The intro is not bad, but it's the opening shot of the forest with her narration that really does not set the tone.
Inside you,
well.
There are two bears.
I think
it's not two wolves, guys.
It's incredibly cheesy, and it's not good.
I like the line that closes the movie, though.
The same
it's
thing?
Like, what? Because, No, like
it's
I like
the
what,
same line.
It's how she reads it.
No, she reads it weird, but I like what the quote is saying because she ends the movie by saying, "The bear that wins is the bear that you feed the most."
Yeah,
and I like that as like a, I don't know, a metaphor for just something we're fighting with. Like what wins inside us is whatever we feed more. I think that works well.
Yeah, and I think that stems from its roots in, all right, we got to make a movie for teens. What are teens struggling with? Mm-hmm. It's these demons that they make themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you got to fight these things. Which bear are you feeding the most?
Yeah.
And what other Marvel movie has a clear theme like that? That's just sad.
I don't know.
Not for better or for worse.
Well, I don't
you know?
Think most of these movies that we've watched haven't tried to do something like this.
No.
Right? Like
definitely.
Most of the Marvel movies are let's have fun, train, you know.
Let's tell a story.
Let's have a roller coaster
beginning
film.
To end.
Yeah, let's have a roller coaster film, and they succeed at that. So this tried to do something a little deeper.
So would you say Martin Scorsese approved for this one? I mean, this is, I believe this is, yeah, the first movie since Martin Scorsese's October 2019 quote, where he said, "Marvel movies are theme park movies."
Would he approve it? So this was in response to that quote.
Feige said, "Oh yeah,
you watch this,
Marty."
Scorsese.
We're going to save cinema.
Here's the hot take, though. I feel like he would more so approve of New Mutants than most of these other movies.
I agree.
I'm not going to lie.
I think right when Micah said that, I agreed. But
you know,
that's crazy. I think
the only way we can prove that, Martin Scorsese, you got to come on the show.
He's got a letterboxed, right?
You gotta come find us.
Has he reviewed New Mutants?
We'd love to invite you
Marty.
Over.
No, I know Francesca Scorsese watches this. She can hook us up, right? Come on, Marty.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It was not a great outing after that quote. That's for sure. And I don't. When do we get a good outing? When do we get a good outing?
Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
Shang-Chi?
I'm excited for that.
Whoa.
I hear good things about Black Widow.
Don't clown on. Like, you haven't seen Black Widow?
Not since theaters.
Oh, spoilers. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of great movies coming up, guys.
But we're still here. Let's finish up New Mutants.
That's
guys,
right.
Before
so
we
before we on. Transition into our next segment, is there anything else we want to bring up during movie talk? Any thoughts that we had other than get this movie over?
I want to reiterate how stupid it was that every character had like their prop that they carried around. Like there was the dragon puppet, there was the piece of coal that he carries around, there was the picture of her family. There was the whole church, I guess, for
the confession booth.
The confession booth. It's just, oh, and I don't know, the guy cooks. Like, they all have their quirk thing that they do. Totally like high school theater workshop class, like 101.
This movie sets a trend that continues, and it's a trend that the Sony Marvel movies pick up, and it's
Spunk.
Exposition revealed through outside shots right before they get a close-up of the character. Needed exposition that's filled in by ADR afterwards, because so much of these characters and their motivations are filled in by wide shots of characters talking, and then it goes up and they're kind of talking about something similar. Like you can
finishing the line.
Yeah, like you can kind of expect that, but just there are a few scenes in this that
the Sony movies perfect that. Okay?
True, yes. But this one really starts that, and it's like, okay, we kind of got to cobble this movie together in post-production. I mean, you had a lot of time, but I don't know. The Sony movies have a lot more to do, and they reshoot the Sony movies too. I don't know.
What other sloppy movies can you think of that we've watched in the Marvel movie marathon? Like, is this the first truly, I mean, Fanforstic maybe was
that's
the last comparable.
That's a terrible movie, yes.
Yeah,
well, I would argue.
Not just terrible, but feels like it needs a little more time in the oven, you know?
As a start.
Well,
yeah.
I think a few of these movies we feel.
Like even Venom, collectively, I thought it was all right, but collectively, we thought it needed some more time in the oven. Maybe it was just not good. Right? This one definitely felt like the first
underdeveloped,
rushed,
yeah.
Underdeveloped, not enough love and attention to this movie. And this is the result. And it's the first of many.
Yes.
As I'm scrolling down this list, I mean, we have had fail after fail in the past few years, as of today, past few years, fail after fail after fail, a couple good ones sprinkled in there.
But for the most part.
I just love that we're going to have three episodes in a row that are Madam Web, Venom 3, and Kraven the Hunter. That is going to be a fantastic time to sit down and to chat with you guys.
We've got Marvel's D&W, Madam Web, Venom 3, Kraven. So I think, and Brave New World. So we've got a ride ahead of us.
Hey, we're excited. We are excited.
Anything else we got to say about New Mutants? I mean, any more thoughts on the score? I mean,
it was the only time I thought the score was standout was when they had their little lesbian macking love scene. So was genuinely a good score. Like he does a great job during the movie, but I don't know. Score doesn't really do much for me in this.
I like the Groundhog Day reference where she's going to jump off the clock tower.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was more of a Yes Man reference. Seen that? I thought it was dumb how What's-Her-Name reacted to her on the clock tower. She's like, what you doing up here?
You just
fall from up here, could kill you. Yeah. Well, that's what she's trying to do.
You knew where it was going. It's
she's so
generic.
Nonchalant.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not good, but we have to talk about something good now. Yes. We have to talk about our favorite character in the New Mutants. All right, Ethan, do you have a favorite character in this movie?
I'll go on to Taylor Joy's magic. Yep.
Dang it.
Favorite character. I don't know what you guys are going to pick. Thank you for letting me go first. Good luck remembering the character's name.
Mine is Anya Taylor-Joy's magic dragon.
Oh! Lockhead.
Yeah, Lockhead.
Good pick.
Didn't think it was going to be a character. And then right at the end, wow, it turns into a real dragon.
That was cool.
Mind blown. All right.
Take Lockhead.
No. Wait, which one's Lockhead?
The dragon.
Oh, no. I want to pick the guy who can fly. I think he was...
Charlie Heaton. Cannonball.
Yeah, I think... Real one. For real this time, Fire Dude, because I think the scene in the pool was kind of tragic. How even though he was like, I can't do this because I'm going to get too hot. And then he, like, evaporates most of the water because he gets too hot.
It's like that situation in Incredible Hulk when they're going down and he's like, whoa, can't get too excited here. You know? let's rank those scenes in all of them because we don't have enough of those.
Is that
your pick? That's your pick?
I'll go with him because
Sunspot?
I think he had Sunspot. I think he had the most character out of any of them. And that's not saying much.
I liked him because he was in Days of Future Past as a different character, but he was cool.
Sure.
Guys, I don't even know the rest of the characters'
still
names.
Think he was dumb, though.
I'll do Maisie Williams when she was a wolf, though. When she was a wolf. Because then it's not, I don't have to listen to any of the dialogue.
We're still the least favorite characters.
I think I'm
going
to go with that one.
Wolf's Bane. Yeah. All right.
She was my least favorite.
I think that's what I'm going to go with.
Good
Her
luck.
Accent was the most painful for me.
Maisie Williams, the Irish accent?
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy because she actually is. That is her native accent. Mm. That she's the only one who actually has that accent.
Wow.
That's not very good.
Maybe you just don't like Irish people.
She's
Micah.
Got, is it Scottish or Irish?
I think it's Scottish.
Scottish, yeah.
Maybe
it was Scottish.
I
don't know. It felt like it was wavering between an accent and like what we speak. English, you know?
They may have been. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
It's the same with Anya Taylor-Joy. Like, I don't know which one is worse. And if I had to pick one, it would be the Scottish accent.
Maybe I'll go with the Demon Bear, actually. All of you New Mutants fans, though, tell us what your favorite character is down below and how all of these characters did not get the love that they deserve.
Favorite scene when the Demon Bear eats the...
That's the next... Micah, go ahead.
No.
Favorite scene is the next category.
No, I think the only part that gave me a chuckle was when he picked up the shoe and it's just blood dripping out of it. That's the remnants of the horror that we could have had.
I don't even remember that scene.
I just rewatched the last 10 minutes in the car. So, cuz I thought I missed something. I was like, did I just miss the whole plot or what happened here?
So, what? So you're just simmering over the past few days.
Yeah.
oh, maybe I missed something. There's some piece missing here. So what is your favorite scene? Did you pick one? The bloody shoe?
Sure.
Okay.
Ethan?
It's a great question.
And then they're all like picking up their little personal belongings that happen to be right outside the building that remind them of their lives before the hospital. And he picks up this stupid shoe. He's like, my rock, my picture, my note, this bloody shoe.
I don't even remember that.
No, I don't.
You're
I don't
lucky
either.
You rewatched him.
Yeah, seriously. I know, right?
Because we missed that.
It was the final shot in the whole movie. You guys don't remember it?
I thought it
was second to last shot.
You know what? That reminded me. I liked when Anya Taylor-Joy jumps through the portal she makes.
Oh, and it goes.
And then she like, she slices up something. What does she slice up?
Like a stained glass window.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm like, all right. Yeah.
Let you didn't like the Daredevil references?
The confession booth?
Yeah.
No.
The Catholic Church?
Dude, those deliberate references to the hit show Daredevil?
Yeah.
That they totally thought about?
Anything movie? Is Catholic. It's immediately a Daredevil
well,
reference.
Well, there's nothing else Catholic in the Marvel Universe.
That's it.
That's true. That's true. Okay, Ben.
I'm actually going to do a genuine one. It's the scene with the smiling.
Because ours weren't genuine?
What? No, I used where yours were. No, but like
I actually
genuinely appreciate that bit, a little bit of horror that they do with the smiling men.
What do the characters kind of remind you of?
Slenderman.
I was gonna say Slenderman.
Slenderman.
But what did your you
thinking,
clearly
think of the silence from Doctor Who?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What about the movie Smile Man or whatever it was with the
yeah Smile?
No. The I don't know what it's called. Smiley?
Smile Man.
It's a cool, genuine bit of horror.
Yeah.
It's an unsettling image.
Smiley.
Where yeah, kind of like that.
He doesn't have a face, and it's cut in. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah,
so those are
nachos.
They're very few and far between in New Mutants, but they do exist. There is a bit of good in this movie. Now, let's see what good the critics, the audience scores,
dude,
all those news outlets thought
dust
about
this
music. Yeah, we're bringing the spreadsheet back.
Blowing off all the dust here. All right, let's see if I can still read this. So we've got, peak across the board. Rotten Tomatoes critic, 35%. Audience, 48%. They liked it more than the critics. Metacritic, 4.3 out of 10. Metacritic user, 4.3 out of 10. In line. IMDb, 5.3 out of 10. Letterboxd, 2.1 out of 5. Oh, I don't even know if that's updated. That's probably old. But anyway, doesn't matter. Average, 4.4 out of 10. Flat.
Ooh.
Rotten.
Yeah, rotten. So this is 50th place on our infamous Hollywood Reporter ranking,
and
which is crazy that they have 20 movies lower than this.
Yes, and I was upset even by the placement of some X-Men movies because they...
That was for how bombastic the movies directly below this are. Spider-Man 3, 51st place. Blade, 52nd.
Wait,
Morbius? 53rd?
Wait, go. The original Blade?
The original Blade. How do we have Daredevil at 59? Guys.
So, is... No, are you reading that wrong?
Blade, no, this is right.
Blade's got to be on top of this movie.
No.
Right?
52nd place.
New Mutants is at 50.
This is for the Hollywood Reporter ranking, not for the web average.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, we knew the Hollywood Reporter was crazy.
We knew it was bums.
We know it's bad, but Blade right there?
To put Blade and... All right, people dunk on Spider-Man 3, but to put it below New Mutants?
And Blade?
Like, as like a... Because I think the way that Hollywood Reporter interpreted it was like, all right, what's the general consensus of, like, hype beasts for Marvel movies? They're really putting New Mutants over Spider-Man 3?
But the way that they did it was they put X-Men The Last Stand under this, and they put X-Men Origins Wolverine under this. And I... No spoilers for what's coming, but I think this is easily the worst X-Men movie that I think we've watched.
Oh, hands down. Hands down.
Yeah.
Bob, oh, wait, hold on. And then Hollywood Reporter, when Deadpool Wolverine came out, they made an X-Men ranking, which we didn't know about, or didn't have access to, right? Because Deadpool and Wolverine didn't even come out.
Right, it wasn't out yet.
Which they put it in fourth place, Deadpool and Wolverine.
Out of all the X-Men?
Out of 14 movies.
Wow.
But which I feel like they're missing some.
Where did they put? So New Mutants is
New Mutants,
third from the bottom?
Yeah, they put from the bottom, we got 14th place X-Men Origins Wolverine, 13th X-Men The Last Stand, 12th New Mutants, 11th Dark Phoenix, 10th place X-Men.
Wow, the OG.
I'm not going to go through the whole list, but
you can look it up.
That's crazy that I think it's crazy that X-Men is down there. Ouch, but ouch, ouch.
We don't care about these scores.
We're here to make the real list.
That's correct.
And if you guys have been following along since the beginning, you'll know
Howard
exactly.
The Duck.
You'll know exactly where these movies stand. All right?
Do we go through there at the end of this? Do we talk about, just remind not only the audience, but ourselves, you know, about where we stand. I mean, this one probably is going to be near the bottom. Probably.
Correct.
Probably.
Depending on our scores. I don't know. I have mine locked in, but I'd love to know what your guys' scores are. I think I remember what it was,
this
Micah.
One?
Let me review. I know what it was. I know what it was.
I would appreciate if you didn't spoil your take on Letterboxd.
I won't. 5 out of 5. Yeah, right there.
Dang. But let's start with Ethan first. Ethan, what'd you think? What's your score?
Yeah, I think we know what I think. We talked about it. It has some ideas that are present. And I give credit where credit's due. I think the cast they assembled assembled? They could have been really strong if they used them right. And I don't think they did. I think most of this movie is pretty boring. And I had a lot of regrets agreeing to say, I'll come back to the Marvel movie marathon because this was the first one we came back to. And I was doubting myself, doubting my choices, and thinking, is this really worth my time? And when it comes to podcasting with you, of course it's worth my time. But when
with
it comes
you
to
you as in both?
Just Ben.
Dang, I got you.
but when it comes to watching the New Mutants, it was not worth my time. So I don't like this movie. I think it's pretty boring. I wanted it to end for most of the runtime. I mean, it's one of the shortest movies that we've watched. It's an hour 36 minutes.
Props to them.
Props to them for making my suffering a little shorter. But it still felt pretty long to me. So with that, all that in mind, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10.
Ooh! 3 out of 10.
Pretty
even.
Bad.
Are you saying this is tied with Dark Phoenix?
Oh.
Wow.
What?
I think Dark Phoenix is a little better, but I like both those being at 3.
Okay.
Yeah, and I agree. Daredevil is better than this.
Now, Ben.
There you go.
You said that I spoiled my thoughts on New Mutants. You said that I spoiled my rating. However, I was just given a ballpark.
Okay.
I knew that my rating was in flux, that I wasn't.
You needed to talk about it first.
I needed to talk my feelings out, you know, because this movie's all about talking about our feelings and making sure that we can control our thoughts. And I think I have finally accepted to control my score down to a 2.5. We're going under Dark Phoenix, but I think it was a little bit more complete than Fanforestick. If I'm being honest, if I can be hot here, takes.
I'll let you be honest, Mike.
2.5.
That's allowed.
I don't think that it was as good as what Ethan's saying here with that just outlandish.
With my outlandish
score.
3.
Yeah,
yeah,
you are just nuts. All right.
Whew. Well, I'm happy to be the nuts one for a change.
That's what I got. You want to get nuts?
Let's get nuts.
Okay, a 3 and a 2.5. Not a hot start for the New Mutants. I don't know if I'm going to help it out very much. I'm struggling, and that's the reason I asked you guys the question. I asked, can we find something good in New Mutants? Because I am struggling still to find a reason to put this over 3 stars. I don't know if I can do that.
Don't.
And I am going to lock it in at 3. like I said, and my biggest critique with this is I hate movies that feel cobbled together. More and more, the older I get, the more I watch movies, the more I appreciate a completed script, a completed, having everything prepared beforehand. This was not the case with New Mutants, and every time it got delayed, it just lessened how much I wanted to see this, because I remember the first day that trailer premiered, the first time in 2017, October 2017, was the first trailer for this movie, and it was looking like a very interesting cast, a horror movie first and foremost, and it was just not that at all. When I watched it 3 years later after that first trailer premiered, there was no hype around this, and even now watching this 5 years later, I can confidently say that New Mutants it's not a good movie. It's not a great way for the Fox X-Men universe to go out. They go out with a whimper. It's sad, unfortunately. I will forever, though, wonder what a trilogy of these movies, if they were great, looked like. Because honestly, I would have been...
Ponder the question, what if?
Honestly, yeah. I would have been all for it, man. The cast is good, minus the accents, but it's just, its execution is terrible.
Ben
so
is
it's
saying
a three
he
for
wants
me.
Two more of these. So he wants three.
If it was
so the movie knew what it was trying to do and it didn't execute it perfectly.
It just correct. Executed it. Just
correct.
Exterminated.
Yes.
It. Straight up. Executed ate everything us. But the shoe.
Pretty much. It's not good.
Oh, boy. So, in total, with Ben's three, Ethan's three, and my 2.5, that averages us out to just under three at 2.83. All right, not so Dark Phoenix was in 55th place. New Mutants, 56.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, and it's a difference of 1.2 full points, guys.
Dang.
Yeah, Dark Phoenix, we gave a 4. Solid 4. Ben liked it. He gave it a 6, but
I don't know if
he's wrong.
It.
So
is the right word.
How much of that was carried by Ben's love for Hans Zimmer, though?
Immensely.
Immensely.
100%. Yeah. I loved Hans Zimmer's score. Yeah. I don't know if I like the movie, though.
Like
six.
We did give this a slightly higher score than Elektra at 57th place. Dang.
Like a round out or bottom five.
Yeah, so 59th place. Or we'll start with bottom five. So fifth place from the bottom is Dark Phoenix. 55th place.
Nice.
56, New Mutants. New entry here. 57th, Elektra. 58th, Fanforstic. 59th, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. We gave that one a solid 1.
Man.
Nothing beating that.
I don't think there will be a worse movie.
Although, so fun, because it's worse.
But stay tuned.
We're so many years removed from watching these now that it.
I couldn't tell you.
It feels archaic. It feels ancient, yeah. These scores.
All I remember is I ended Spirit of Vengeance just about the same way as I was ending New Mutants. And I have to confess.
You fell asleep.
I
no,
have
you didn't.
Sinned.
No, you didn't.
That's why I rewatched the last 10 minutes because I didn't want to do it Spirit of Vengeance. I wanted to make sure I did this movie justice. I didn't want to face man. The penance stare again.
It's understandable.
So I hope I did you guys proud. Hey, I did watch the full runtime. I can confirm. No plot points or special effects went over my head through my closed eyelids.
How
I
far
did witness
how far
least,
into the movie
the
did you fall asleep?
Time. An hour and 20. I was like 10 minutes from the end.
Okay. So
yeah,
right.
Well, you have seen the whole
thing.
I did finish it today, but okay. I mean, I witnessed the whole movie.
Yes.
That first day.
Good.
It was a struggle. It was a struggle to get through.
It's not that it was boring. It was just... Nothing going on.
No, it was boring.
Which is
it was
the
boring.
Definition of boring.
Hey,
it was boring. Very.
It's not that it was boring.
Very
it just
dull.
Was a snooze fest.
If you are a fan of New Mutants and somehow still listening to us dog on this movie, please let us know why we're wrong.
I think
for
we're
this.
Pretty good at dogging on a film. We there are definitely a lot worse ways we could say what we say. I think.
True. Yes. I mean. We have good intentions. Yeah, we want this movie to be good. We wanted it to be good, but
yeah,
I don't know.
We're not ruined by it not being good either.
Ruined.
No, we're just we got to sit down, come back for the Marvel movie marathon. You know, this is cool now that we're mentioning it. I've now seen every theatrically released Marvel movie. This was the one movie that I hadn't seen yet.
Wow.
So I'm happy to say that. Yeah.
I still cool. need to see Kraven.
You
is
do.
That true? Is that every single film?
Nope. You haven't seen Inhumans, have you?
It's a not show.
Yeah, but that was theatrically released.
IMAX.
We're talking.
I forgot about that.
It had an IMAX release.
That's true, though. You're right. You're right. We're talking about movies. That's right. You're right.
So we're not bringing shows into this, as we discussed off the air. We don't want to watch Loki, Falcon Winter Soldier.
Good point.
WandaVision.
Well,
for some reason.
American theatrically released movie.
We do want to watch Loki, just not for this podcast. Right? Loki is good. Loki is very good. But no, we will not be, as we continue through this, now that we have the MCU shows coming out, we will not be watching those. It's just too much for us to get in six episodes in a week.
We would have to do WandaVision, Falcon, and Loki before we would hit Black Widow, which is our next one.
Yes.
I'm excited for that.
I haven't seen
it since theaters, so I wasn't super big in Marvel at the time, I don't think, because this was just before I joined the podcast, right? When did Batman come out?
This 2022.
Yeah.
And
so
this
was
2021.
First movie we podcasted about, all three of us, was Morbius. About, like, first Marvel movie that we hit.
It was Morbius?
It was Morbius.
Yeah. We didn't do No Way Home?
See, we have Morbius scores in this spreadsheet.
I think Ethan and I did No Way Home.
No, I was there too.
You were not.
It
your
was
memory,
2021.
Your memory of that No
oh,
Way Home.
Oh, no. Multiverse of Madness. That's what we were doing the prediction video on. Yep. So we did Moon Knight for sure.
Yeah.
And that was right before Morbius. So
there you go.
I'm excited for Black Widow.
I am
excited to revisit
a lot
of these.
With Thunderbolts coming out?
Yes.
Next week? Well, I mean, when this podcast comes out, it'll be the same week.
That's a good point.
So we'll talk about how we want to.
We are so good at having our podcast come out like
so good.
The week
so
of good. Things.
Yeah, dude. I'm excited for Thunderbolts. And I'm excited for Black Widow because a lot of these movies on here, I haven't seen them since theaters. I have not gone back and rewatched them. I'm trying to build up my physical media collection, so I'm ready for this second half of the Marvel movie marathon that we go into. Removed from all of the hype, a lot of times you'd go and watch a Marvel movie and the consensus was, man, that was terrible. And that's, I don't know, as a Marvel fan, it's not fun walking out of a movie that you want to enjoy and it's not that good. I'm really interested to see how these movies have aged, especially some of these 2021, 2022 films. Revisiting Love and Thunder is going to be very interesting. Don't know how much my opinion is going to change on that one.
Without the pressure that movie, like it had a lot of pressure going into it. So maybe now, knowing that
maybe
it's not that great,
we can appreciate it as the satirical genius that Taika Waititi presents to us.
You're probably right.
Because that's, I guess, we'll talk about it.
Yes.
We'll talk about
it. The only way for us to know and for you guys to find out is to continue listening to the podcast, for us to continue watching these movies. And that's what we're going to do from here on out. So stay tuned for that. We will be posting these, like I said at the beginning, every other week leading up to Avengers Doomsdays. Their Doomsday, there might be some podcasts sprinkled in the middle of that. There might be some great movies that we want to talk about for 2025. Exactly. We might do Vintage Marvel.
No way.
So,
dude,
stay.
I want to do 1994 Fantastic Four before First Steps.
I will do that with you.
Yeah? Okay. Really?
I'm in. Yes. Don't exclude me, guys. I'm in.
Listen. And I want to get Man-Thing done at some point because I hear he was supposed to be in Thunderbolts. That would have been hilarious.
You've been hot on Man-Thing ever since we started this.
It's the one blank spot, if you don't count Inhumans, which we should count Inhumans if we're counting Man-Thing, in our full-length Marvel movies.
That's why it gets too dicey. Once you include something else, it's
we have to include two or three that we skipped over. And then we've got our backlog of the 20th century.
It gets dicey, you know, if you keep going. That's why we'll call it Vintage Marvel.
Yep.
But stay tuned for all of that going forward. For now, thank you guys for watching. But for now, this is Ben Rayside.
This is Ethan.
This is Micah.
Signing off. We all hope you have an absolutely fantastic day.